This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. Thanks for being here this afternoon. We cover a lot of things of interest around the Umpqua Valley today. An update on the Ford Family Foundation. We have got people with new titles in the room. Vice President of Learning and Impact, Dr. Cassie Allen. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle, for having us.
And the Vice President of Programs, Kiwi Cook. Thanks for being here.
Oh, happy to be here, Kyle. Thank you.
So the foundation recently named both of you to new roles, and we're going to get into that. But I wanted to kind of look at the evolution of the Ford Family Foundation first. Now, Kiwi, you've been here since 2008?
2008, yes, that's right,
Kyle. Talk about how the organization has grown. How has it changed since you've been here?
Well, it has changed a whole lot. It's hard to imagine how different we felt 17 years ago when I started. For example, we used to sit around the fireplace every Tuesday morning and tell each other what we're going to do for the week, and that was sufficient. Well, when you grow from 20 people to 56 people, that no longer works. And so I'd say there are lots of things that have stayed the same about the foundation, how we deeply care about our rural communities, how we lean in on issues that are most important to our communities. All of that has stayed the same. I think what's really changed is how we do that. So when I started, our scholarship program was long running, and that continues. We did do grant making, but more in a way that we heard about a community with a need. We answered that need through a grant. And we had our community building program focused on developing leaders. All of those things have evolved in so many ways since that time. You know, now we are still there for our communities. We're listening all the time. We're trying to figure out what the big issues are. But we're also choosing to focus in some areas, diving deep, having staff who really get what's happening in early childhood or K-12 or economic development, leaning in on those expertise and saying, what partners do we need to proactively build? What should we be reaching out for and figuring out how to have an impact around? So we've gone from being responsive to much more proactive, deciding we have to focus on some areas where we think we can make a difference, and all the time doing it by listening and learning continuously from our communities. So we have field-based staff now that never would have happened 17 years ago, folks representing and living in rural communities across the state who actually know what's happening there and can tell us and keep us grounded in the realities of our communities. Not only does our team who awards the scholarships support those students, but they're learning a whole lot about what it takes to have our students succeed in community colleges and colleges, and they're feeding that back into the system and saying what works for our kids and what doesn't. So we went from just being a more responsive sort of newer foundation to one with strategies that we stick with for the long term, and we layer of all the expertise one over the other. So lots has remained the same, but really fundamentally different in terms of how we get the work done.
Now, Cassie, how long have you been with the foundation?
I arrived in January 2017.
And how has it shifted since you've been there?
Well, so when I came, I think that we had only recently developed our departments. And so these are these areas of focus and expertise. For example, Kiwi's former role as the director of Children, Youth, and Families. So really focusing on issues for that particular group. And we had three other departments. One of them was the Ford Institute for Community Building, our post-secondary success, our scholarship department, and another focused on community economic development. So that's where we were then. And those departments are continuing, but it was really a time where everybody was trying to figure out what those four things meant. We were growing from being that responsive grant maker to really trying to be more of a change maker. And I would say that in the time I've been here, we've begun to see how we might be able to do something greater than the sum of its parts by working together towards shared goals, shared targets together. And that's really something that we're hoping to live into in future years.
So, Kiwi, what do you think makes the Ford Family Foundation unique among foundations?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's our focus on rural. That is really unusual. It's unusual in our state. We're not the only one, but we are certainly the largest one. And it's unusual nationally. There are very, very few foundations who focus entirely on rural communities. So I think that makes us unique. I think the fact that we bring all of the tools we can to bear, you know, people might think they know us as a grant maker or as a scholarship provider, but really we're thinking about all the things a foundation can do. Grant making, bringing people together in a room, convening them, funding research, looking at data, doing all the things in our power to tell the stories of our communities in order to essentially shift the systems on behalf of rural. So how can we learn what's working in childcare in a rural place, take that to our state partners and really help them understand what is and is not working for rural. So I think the fact that we are so grounded in individual communities, but we're also positioned to take what we hear from them and do the most to shift the statewide systems, I think it makes us pretty unique. We're grounded Absolutely. And working at the systems level.
Yeah, and the fact that we are headquartered here in Roseburg, I think also makes us unique. So not only are we really dedicated to improving the lives and communities of rural places and small towns, but we're headquartered in one, and our staff lives here. So we're in Roseburg with purpose. We're here in Douglas County with purpose, and that's unusual nationally.
Yeah. And Cassie, with over 50 people, it sounds like folks can really specialize in a real specific area.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to remember that those 56, I believe 11 of them currently, are up in our Eugene office, which serves our post-secondary work, our scholarship programs. There's an additional 8 that Kivi mentioned earlier that are living all across rural Oregon and Siskiyou County, California, which is an area that we also serve. And so you've got to spread out a little bit geographically and also topically. People bring a whole set of content knowledge, skills, lived experience, and we try to weave those things together.
And either one of you could take this. I was curious about some research that I guess your foundation published about childcare this week.
Yes, I'm happy to start, and Cassie can jump in. We have a new report, and we'd encourage anyone listening to go check it out on our website. It's called Progress at Risk, and it's a follow-up report to something we released at the end of 2020 that was really looking at the issue of childcare, the fact that we all know childcare is necessary for everybody. We know that employers want it to exist so that their families can come in and work. We know that families want a safe and nurturing, high-quality situation for their kiddos to be in so that they're ready from school and they're supported. And yet the math really doesn't add up. Families are being asked to pay more than they can afford, and that puts them in a bind. And yet the money coming in is really not enough to sustain the true costs of childcare. And so this is something that all of our communities are telling us. And so the 2020 report put forward 5 recommendations saying what can change on behalf of rural childcare providers and families in order to make the system work for them. Many of those recommendations have been taken up by policy makers. We're starting to see some change, but we're in that really vulnerable spot where some changes may or may not persist, the funding might go away, and so this report is trying to keep sort of a fire under those recommendations to say if they're to last and change things for our providers and our families, they need to continue to be funded, they need to continue to work to change the system. So if you do decide to go look at that report, we have a summary that is probably the most digestible part for the average human. We'd encourage you to look at that. It's in English and in Spanish, and please reach out to us if you have any questions about it.
And Cassie, what can you tell us about that?
Oh, only that if people go to the website to check out this research, I highly recommend that you look at the executive summary. There is a full report there. It is highly technical, very detailed, and might not be all that helpful to a layperson, but the executive summary is designed so that all of us can know some of the complications and challenges of this issue and be able to speak to it.
And I know that one of the things that's come up, maybe not so much in this area, but maybe more in urban areas, where larger companies or government agencies have ultimately gone to some kind of model where they've created their own child care facility.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because one of the recommendations, and Kivi, this is much more her expertise than mine, but you know, people tend to think about childcare as like little centers in people's homes or these big centers that you're referring to in urban areas. And oftentimes there's something in between. Some folks call them micro centers. And so this is something that we bring up in the report and that people have an opportunity to learn about there.
Yeah, and we strongly believe, and we hear it from our communities, that it's going to take some of all of these models existing in communities in order for families to have a choice that feels right to them. So whether that's in-home care, like Cassie said, these micro centers, a larger center, something run by an employer, like for example, our county has done an amazing job setting up childcare for their employees. And I think that's a model that we would like to show off across the state. It's really exciting. But that's not something every community can pull off. And it may also not meet the needs of families who are comfortable with a smaller setting. So we want to see communities have the full range, and that's really what you'll see in that report.
All right, we're going to talk more in a moment. We're going to get into the specific new roles of Cassie Allen and Kiwi Cook when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Waters, Lawn and Garden Show at 4. Tomorrow we talk about the Umpqua Valley Festival of Lights and also about the soon-to-be-open Rosebud Theater venue in downtown Roseburg. Those at a two-segment program tomorrow. Cassie Allen and Kiwi Cook from the Ford Family Foundation with us today. All right, they gave you a new business card. You've got a new job. You've got a new role. First of all, Kiwi, we'll start with you. Vice President of Programs, how did this come together? How did things align for you to kind of shift a bit?
Yeah, I'm happy to share that, Kyle. I think, you know, what you heard in our words before was really how the foundation has been continuously growing. And Cassie talked about how we've had these content-focused departments for a long time, each doing very important work. That work continues, but really now we're saying, how do we work to tie those things together? So how do the folks in our Economic Development Department and our Children, Youth, and Families Department and our Post-Secondary Success Department really lean in on focus on something like childcare? And in order to do that, you need a role that's able to look across, look for those points of connection, help us develop strategies that are really going to make the most of all of the expertise that we have at the foundation. And that is going to be a big part of my role. I think in addition to that, you know, we need to get more focused on what we're working on. And that takes someone really asking the question along. You'll hear Cassie's role along with Cassie saying what's working, what's not, what do we lean in and do more of? And then listening for those stories that are sharing the impact of the work and figuring out how to share those across the state to make change in our system. So that'll be a big part of what I'm doing. I think that has happened up to this point, but it's been a little bit of everybody's job, which sometimes makes it nobody's job. And so by allowing me to focus there, focus on bringing our program officers together, our field coordinators, field-based staff together, learning from one another and having strategies that make sense together, I think we'll just be able to move faster and stronger. And I'm excited to see where it takes us.
And Cassie, you are now under the title of Vice President of Learning and Impact. What does that mean?
Yeah, so when I came to the foundation in 2017, my title then was Director of Learning and Knowledge Management, and it was the first position of its kind at the Ford Family Foundation. And the purpose at that time was really to try to work with our program staff all across the foundation and to get a handle on what we were learning from these smaller bodies of work and to see what they were beginning to add up to. And now we are in a position, we are of size, and our strategy is of a maturity that we're really ready to start looking at learning across the whole and what happens when we begin breaking down our silos, working together. How can we ensure that the investments we are making are yielding the kind of results and change in our rural communities that we all want? And improving the lives of our rural kiddos in the way that all of us want. So that's what the role is focused on. And I think, you know, some people may not be aware that we have just finished walking a full year with the foundation's third president. So there have only been three presidents of the Ford Family Foundation. And I think you can really see with each president an era in the development of the org. And so we're with our third president, and we are of a size that I think she is seeing it's helpful for her to have a kitchen cabinet that really does see across the organization, all of us with a slightly different lens. So Kivi looking across our strategies, working with programs, myself taking that learning lens, and I think it should really help us unlock a lot in the next decade or so.
When you look at all of the things you do, it's such a magnitude of work. What about when you maybe interact with folks where you really see direct impact and you go, okay, yes, this is working?
Well, that is just the best part of every single day. I mean, I think that's what keeps us coming back. It's why I've been here for 17 years. We have so many examples, Kyle, from our communities where people are finding a way, they're finding a solution to whatever it is that they are struggling with. And I think our job is to understand that better. What are the conditions that they struggle against? What solutions have they come up with? Or is something they're doing going to help someone in a county over? How do we help them tell that story, whether it's to peers or to policymakers, folks at state tables. And so there are so many of those stories. We love sharing them, but I think we need to get better at doing that. We've been sort of a humble, quiet organization, and really over the last 5 years, that's been changing, and that will keep changing. Not the humble part, but the quiet part. And so figuring out how we can share those stories to have more of an effect, I think, because that's really why we exist, is to learn from our communities and have it make a difference.
And Cassie, what about when you get a chance to talk with someone who's really been impacted?
Well, I just think we have such a privilege of working in this limited geography. So it's fun to when I meet a person or encounter an organization and get to hear a story of some kind of magical rural resourcefulness, small town wisdom that allowed for something to happen that might not happen in a big urban area. And so those are the things that really excite me. And as Kivi said, I think we have an opportunity to really lift them up even more than we have. We've begun that a bit, but we haven't done it in as intentional and targeted a way. So we're all connected. And I think here in Oregon and our neighbors down in Siskiyou, there is a lot of common cause among our communities and rural residents. And so there's an opportunity for us to increasingly work together to ensure that some of the structures and systems, especially here in Oregon, are serving our rural communities and kids that grow up in more geographically isolated places, small towns, rural areas, that they have the same shot at success as kids that are growing up in other places.
So, Kivi, give us a quick snapshot of some of your plans for this role next year.
Yeah, now you're really putting me on the spot as I think about who's out there listening. But the biggest thing on our plate right away, Kyle, is to look at the strategies that we've been leaning into over the last few years and saying, are we headed in the right direction? Are there ways we could focus, get more targeted in what we're doing? So that's going to be the biggest thing on my plate to begin with. We also have an incredible team of people, and we are so lucky in who we've been able to bring on the foundation. I think we're thinking a lot about how we can support them with skill building, training, leaning in that way. So that's going to be a big part of my job as well. I think we have incredible partners, but we need more of them. So how do we reach out and understand who else is working in the same space as we are, whether that's other philanthropies, but it may be, other local leaders, commissioners, legislators, figuring out how to build those partnerships and bring more people to the table on behalf of rural, and that'll be a piece of my job too.
And Cassie, give us something real quick about what you plan to do.
I think a lot of my work is trying to create like a learning plan for all of us to go after together. The learning is still sprinkled about the organization, and we want to have a chance to be learning together. And so that will include some refining of our Select Books library as well, just so folks know.
And before we go, you wanted to talk about the Fund for Teachers real quick.
Oh, yeah. Fund for Teachers is open. This is only for Douglas County licensed teachers. Mm-hmm. That application closes on January 23rd, and our scholarships are open, and those close on March 3rd. So we really hope to get lots of participation from our Douglas County neighbors.
And how do people connect to do that?
Hit our website, tfff.org. All the information is there.
And before we go, as you look towards the next year for the foundation overall, what are you most looking forward to?
Oh, I'm actually just looking forward to leaning in and doing the work. I think, as anyone will know, when you have a leadership transition in an organization of our size, there's just a lot of recalibration. And so I think now we get to get into flow and really get moving together. That's what I'm most excited about.
All right, out of time for today. Kiwi Cook, Cassie Allen, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.